morning, our scripture reading is found in John 13, 12 through 17. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." You may be seated.
Are you familiar with the little children's rhyme, or game, whatever that is, this little piggy that you play with toes? You familiar with that? I didn't grow up with that because my family has a Swedish heritage, and so we had our own version of it. And is anybody in here Swedish? Okay, so tell me if your parents did this. My mom would start with our little toe, and I believe it went like this. I don't really know Swedish, but this is what I know. She would go, "Lilla ton, tona till, macka frua, stava ruta, gigalista bogen." And is there an interpreter in the house that can tell you? Oh, okay, there we go. Well, I'll ask you about it after the service, okay? But that's what we would do when we were growing up, and it was wonderful. Well, as I said earlier, Jesus has a lesson that he wants to teach us today, and he wants to use dirty feet as he's teaching that that lesson. Now, we're in this series that is called Encounters with Jesus. And we've been tracing through in the Gospel of John all of these various encounters that people have had with Jesus and the way that that's transformed their life. And lately, we've been on a journey towards the cross. A couple weeks ago, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and we learned Jesus said that I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me, even though he die, will have eternal life. And then last week, we looked and she used her hair and this expensive perfume to wipe his feet. And Jesus said that what she was doing was preparing him for burial. And so we're on this journey towards the cross, and this is going to continue that. In these moments, this happens around what we call the Last Supper. It's very close towards the end of Jesus' life as we journey towards the cross here. And so we're going to look at that, but would you pray with me as we begin? Jesus, we want to have an encounter with you today. We don't just want to read about someone's encounter with you, but we want to experience you for ourselves. And we want to hear you speaking to us, just as you were speaking to your disciples in that upper room. And so would you help us to hear your voice, Lord, this morning as we encounter you through your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, with the cross being so close, this ends up being kind of like a last teaching for Jesus as he's gathered in this upper room with his closest guys, his 12 disciples. And think about it, when the time is coming towards the end, if you've ever been with someone before they've died, you only talk about the things that are most important, the things that they really want you to know. And there's some things that Jesus really wants us to know. But what's interesting about this passage to me is the things that it says that Jesus knew. What do I mean by that? Well, in John 13, 3 and 11, I'll put those up on the screen for you. It says that Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, and then verse 11, for he knew who was going to betray him, that is why he said, not all of you are clean. So we see this phrase that Jesus knew. First thing is that Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into his hands. Jesus knew that all of the power in the universe was at his disposal. Another thing that Jesus knew is that he'd come from God. He knew he was the Son of God. Jesus also knew that his time was short because he knew he was going back to God. And not only that, but in the verse 11 there, it says Jesus even knew which of the guys in this room was about to betray him. And so knowing all of this stuff that normal people aren't aware of themselves, Jesus has all this knowledge. He knows that he is the Son of God. He knows that he has all power and authority, and he knows even the very person in the room who's going to betray him in not too long from now. And so what does Jesus do? We'll read the rest of 13:3 through 5 here. 13:3 through 5 says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now, to understand what's happening here, I need to explain a little bit about what this really looked like for them. Because remember, Jesus and his disciples, they didn't walk around all day wearing sorrels on their feet. No, they wore sandals, like what I'm wearing right now. And remember that they didn't have cars. They didn't have paved roads. Instead, they would walk on all of these dirty and dusty roads all day. That was their main form of transportation. And so imagine what their feet would get like after doing all of that walking around. And if it helps for a visual, I even have a picture of what I look like after I play Ultimate Frisbee with the kids. So just imagine those dirty, nasty feet coming to dinner. And when they would go to dinner, it's common for us, mom says, you know, you got to wash your hands before you can have dinner, right? And that wasn't as much of a part of their pre-meal ritual as was washing your feet. You know, and when you see something like that, you can imagine why washing your feet before dinner is a really important thing. So this meal that Jesus and his disciples were having was a very common meal to them. It was something that they had done over and over. And they'd probably been in many places just like that, where their feet get all dirty and nasty because they've been walking around in the hot sun, in the sand, in their sandals. And they come in to have a meal. And when they would do that, they didn't sit at tables like we normally would sit at. They would sit at a table that looked a little more like this. Be lower to the ground. And, hopefully I don't destroy anything here. And they would kind of sit like this. They would lean and relax with their feet behind them while they would eat food. Now, can you imagine these 13 guys, the 12 plus Jesus, sitting around this style of a table with their dirty, nasty feet, and imagine someone right in front of me with dirty, nasty feet, and I got to look at and smell those while I'm eating this meal. Now, so you can see why washing your feet would be a very important thing in that day. But what they would do is they normally wouldn't wash their own feet. There was usually a household servant or attendant whose job it was to come and wash feet. And so that's what they would do, is they would come around and they would wash everybody's feet before the meal, so that they wouldn't have these dirty, nasty feet. And so, like I said, this is a very normal kind of a dinner. Normal until Jesus did what he did. Because they're sitting around and no one had washed their feet. And Jesus, remember what he knew? He knew he was the Son of God. He knew that he had all power and authority given to him by the Father himself. And so what he does is he gets up from the table and he takes off his outer garment. How many of you know that this is how Jesus does church? And then he comes around and grabs the bowl and the water, and he goes to each of the disciples. Now remember, these are 12 guys. That means 24 feet. I don't know how long it takes for each person, but it probably was just like right now where there's this little bit of silence that's going on and amazement. As Jesus would go around and he would wash someone's feet and he would use the towel that he had wrapped around him to wipe their feet. So Jesus went all the way around there. Now imagine what that must have been like. Try and put yourself in that room if you can. Imagine that they're having this meal. You're having this meal. You're one of the disciples. And all of a sudden, Jesus, this person who you think so highly of, all of a sudden gets up and starts washing your feet. I imagine that would be so extremely awkward. I imagine that the meal started out and they were probably laughing and talking and having a good time. And all of a sudden when Jesus does that all of the chatter stops. And it's silent. And nobody knows what to do. I mean, this is our teacher, our Lord, and he's washing our feet. Not only that, but he's going around, and one of the people whose feet he washes is Judas Iscariot. Remember, Jesus knew who was going to betray him. And at one point, he went around and washed Judas's feet too, knowing that. Just sit in that idea for a moment. Just think about how amazing that is. Nobody knows what to say until Peter. You gotta love Peter, right? As Jesus comes around to wash Peter's feet, Peter's like, "Oh no, Lord. No, you can't wash my feet." You know, he's just embarrassed that this has happened. You can't wash my feet. He's probably thinking, "I should be washing your feet. I should be coming over to your side of the table, and I should be, I'm so sorry that I didn't do that. No, but you can't wash my feet. You're Jesus. You can't stoop down. That's a servant's job to do that." And then what Jesus says to him, he says, "I have to do this. Unless you let me do this, then you can't have any part of me." And Jesus is starting to hint at the cross that he has to go to, saying that unless you let me clean you, wash away all the dirt and filth of your life, then you're not going to be able to experience the victory and the rewards that are going to come with salvation. Well, Peter doesn't really get it still. And like a Sunday school kid fumbling for the right answer. He reverses and goes the opposite direction and says, well, if you're going to wash my feet, then you should wash all of me. Wash my hands and wash my head too. And Jesus is like, Peter, you don't get it. You've already taken a bath. A person who's taken a bath doesn't need to be cleaned again. But you need me to clean you. Jesus knows all about us. Jesus knows how hard it is for us in those moments. And have you ever heard the scripture or the phrase that that it's better to give than to receive? I think what Peter and those disciples were experiencing that night was that it may be better to give than to receive, but sometimes it's harder to receive than it is to give. You know what I mean? Have you ever had it when someone wants to give you a compliment or someone wants to do something nice for you, how awkward that makes you feel? I don't know why that is. But we can be that way with God too, where he wants to give something to us, and for some reason, we're so awkward and embarrassed about it that, like Peter, we're saying, no, Lord, no, you shouldn't be giving me anything. Jesus is saying, I've got to do this. And a wise old preacher told me one time, he said, the next time that you go and have a devotion time, keep your Bible closed. And instead, for 15 minutes, just let Jesus love you. Sometimes that's hard for us because it's harder to receive something like that than it is to just give Jesus our time. Give Jesus, oh, I'm reading this, Lord, so that you'll be happy with me. Give Jesus that checklist item thing that we want to check off. Jesus wants to teach us a lesson about these dirty feet. First thing he wants to teach us is that we've got soul dirt. John 13:12 says this. When Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer garment and resumed his place, then he said to them, do you understand what I've done for you? This is where Jesus is, he's such a brilliant teacher, how he goes around and he does this thing which nobody understands why he's doing it. They're trying to figure it out. Even while he's washing Peter's feet and Peter's saying no, Jesus is saying, you don't understand why I'm doing this now, but later you will. He's such a good teacher, the way that he's able to do something like that, and then sometime later, all of a sudden, we get the lesson. And Jesus sits around the table with them. He says, okay, do you understand what I just did? Do you understand what this means that I have come around and I've just washed your feet? One of those things that Jesus wants us to know is that he knows. He knows all about us. He knows each one of you. He knows everything about you. He knows those things that you're embarrassed or you're ashamed. If anybody else knew this about me, well, guess what? Jesus does know. Jesus knows where we've been. He knows the places where our feet have been walking and all the dust and dirt and grime of life that's gotten in between our toes and goes with us everywhere. Others might not see it, but Jesus knows all of this. But what's amazing? What does Jesus want to do with that? He doesn't want to embarrass you. He doesn't want to shame you. He wants to clean you up. You see, Jesus knows that we have dirt on our souls. And that the only way for us to be clean is if he cleans us up. If you have your Bibles and want to turn with me to Titus chapter 3, I'm going to read from Titus 3, 5 through 7. Titus 3, 5 through 7 says this about Jesus cleaning us. It says, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What it's saying is when you became a Christian, Jesus cleaned up your life. He replaced that spotted garment and gave you a robe of white. He cleaned you up. And we like to put a flower in the vase whenever somebody gives their life to Jesus through the ministry of this church. And those three flowers that we've had so far this year represent three people whose lives have been cleaned up by Jesus. Well, not just that, but some of us, even after we become Christians, still end up coming in with a lot of dirt on our feet. We need to come back to Jesus all the time. We need to confess our sins to Him. And the good thing is we're given a promise that if we confess our sins, that Jesus is faithful and just. Now He'll forgive us of our sins, and He'll purify us from all unrighteousness. Some of you have probably come in here this morning with some smelly, dirty feet. And Jesus wants to clean that up for you. And how you do that? The same way you first came to Him. You come to the cross again. You confess those things, the dirt that Jesus already knows about, and He will forgive you for those things. The other lesson that Jesus wants to teach us is about beautiful feet. In John 13, verse 15, in our text, it says this, I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Now these disciples, you know about them. They were always in a rivalry with each other. They were always arguing with each other about which one of them was the greatest, which one of them Jesus loved more. And Jesus says, I've given you an example of washing feet. And now, what I'm saying by that is I want you to wash each other's feet. And He says, if I, who you say, I'm your master, if I'm your teacher, if I'm your Lord, and I've gotten down and I've washed your feet, then you should wash each other's feet. You know, almost like saying, if you don't get down and serve each other, then it's like you're saying that you're greater than me in some kind of a way. Because I'm not, Jesus is saying, I'm not so great that I won't bend down and serve others. And so Jesus wants to teach us a lesson about what beautiful feet would be like. He's saying you got to get clean so that you can get dirty. Dirty washing other people's feet. And if Jesus can do it, you can do it too. And I've got a picture of what I consider to be beautiful feet. I don't know if you know whose feet those are, but those are the feet of Mother Teresa. And the reason why her feet were like that is because they would receive donations of shoes all the time. Her and her her ministry to the poor. And what she would do is she would make sure that everybody else had the first pick of the shoes, and she would take whichever shoes were left. And oftentimes, they would be shoes that didn't fit right. It'd be too tight, and so they would squeeze her feet in, and her feet ended up looking like that. But I tell you, I think that those are beautiful feet. We're told in Isaiah 52, verse 7, How beautiful on the mountainside are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, kind of the ironic thing about that verse is what it's describing is someone who is running long distances to come back to the city to deliver good news to the people. And someone who's been running long distances, their feet will begin to look nasty. And they'd probably be cut up and bleeding and blistered. And what Isaiah says there is, how beautiful are feet that bring good news. Those are beautiful feet. Well, Jesus wants us to have beautiful feet too. He wants us to get clean, to come to him so he can wash us, so that we can join him in the ministry of getting our own hands dirty. You know, I think it would have been easy for any of those guys to wash Jesus' feet. Who wouldn't want to wash Jesus' feet? It's easy to serve those who are above you, to get a favor from them. And you know what? It might even be easy to serve those who are below you because it makes you feel good about yourself, or there's some way in which you can gain from it. But it's hardest to serve those who are right next to you. And that's what the disciples really struggled with, was the idea of washing each other's feet, of serving each other, when they normally looked at each other as, this person is my competition for getting to sit next to Jesus and enjoy all his favor. And Jesus is wanting me to submit myself and to serve that person and love that person. That's really hard. You know, we should enter heaven with dirty hands because we've spent so much time serving and washing dirty feet. Now, you can wash feet, but Jesus is saying that he gave us an example that we should follow. So he's not meaning just wash each other's feet. He's meaning this is a pattern of life that I want you to embody. I want you to think about ways in which you can serve each other. One example of how I've gotten a chance to serve and learn about this is a church that I was at in Bemidji. One Sunday morning said that this one lady, Chris, who had cancer and she was bedridden at her own home and just receiving home care, that her husband needed help caring for her. And so they wanted to put together a list of people who from the church who would volunteer to go and help him with a lot of helping to lift her so that he could change her bedding and all that. And I just really felt like the Lord wanted me to do that. I'd never done anything like that before in my life. And so I went over there, and her husband, John, guided me through everything that I needed to do. And Chris, even though she's confined to her bed and slowly wasting away, she just had the sweet grace and kindness of the Lord. And she helped me, even though it felt a little bit embarrassing and awkward, I must admit, to be in that situation and not know what to do. But there was, I helped, I did everything that John wanted me to do, and I got to watch him as he served his wife, as he took care of all her needs, as though, like he was taking care of a child who couldn't help themselves anymore. And it was just a really great picture and a really great learning experience for me about what it is like to have beautiful feet by serving each other. And so the question that I want to leave you guys with today, that I want you to really wrestle with, is this one. Where does Jesus want you to get your hands dirty in this church? Where does he want you to start serving? Start serving people, cleaning out the dust and dirt of life off of their feet. Getting your hands dirty, getting in it. Not being a bystander, but actually getting in and serving. There's so many serving opportunities, even ones that haven't even been thought of or dreamed up yet. But this is Jesus' desire for us. Where does Jesus want you to get your hands dirty in this church? Let's pray. I'll invite the worship team back up. I do. Lord, it's just amazing that you didn't see yourself like you needed to be served, like we should spend all of our time just worshiping you, Lord, but you take great satisfaction when we serve each other. In many ways, Lord, it's an act of worship to you when we serve each other and love each other. And that can be hard to do, Lord. There are people in our lives who might come to mind who we would really have a hard time serving. People who, for this reason or that, we just don't really like them. We have to see them every week. But Lord, you're calling us to serve them and to love them. Help us to know, Lord, the way that you want us to love them. And then help us to have the courage to do the embarrassing, do the awkward thing, and to serve those people with love. Help us, Lord, to use the gifts and abilities that you've given to each one of us and those desires that you've given us to find a ministry in the church to serve in, to serve the families who are grieving and going through a funeral by just helping out in the kitchen, making sure that the luncheon goes well and that the family doesn't have to worry about that. Just help us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit's power. Just, I know that you can speak these things into our life and you can convict us of just how you want us to serve and where you want us to serve. And so we give you permission to do that, Lord. We want to be like you. We want to be your disciples. And now as we turn to worship, Lord, help us to worship you, the God who came to serve us and to make us clean. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.